been calling him the wrong name all week, and y'all let me do it. My wife says last night on the way home, I was saying something going home. I mean, hey, this is the last night of revival. And my precious wife on the way home says, Tim, his name is not IV. It's IB. Well, thanks for letting me know the next to the last night. You know, I was wondering, I never met anybody named IV. I wondered if his name was Intravenous Boyette. But I'm going to try to do better. Sorry, Brother IB. Well, it's good to be in God's house. Amen. Folks, we've heard some good singing tonight and some singing on the blood. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, that's our victory. Had it not been for that precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, there'd be no hope for you and I ever to make it to heaven. But I'm thankful tonight it still has that power to save. And if there's someone here tonight that needs to be saved, on the authority of the Bible, I'm telling you, you can be saved before you leave this place tonight if you'll trust Jesus Christ and Him alone. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will. We're going to go to an Old Testament passage that you students of the Bible are familiar with. Find 2 Kings chapter 7. In 2 Kings chapter 7, we're going to pick up, actually, a lot of times we do some skipping in this particular passage when we shouldn't. But let me just give you a little background, because there's a lot in the passage that needs to be covered. But at this particular time in the history of the nation of Israel, God Almighty is judging His own covenant people, and He's judging them harshly because of their sins. The nation of Israel at this point in their existence is at one of their low points as far as being disobedient toward God Almighty. As a matter of fact, many in Israel have begun at this point to worship false gods. They're worshiping Baal. They're worshiping other gods. They're offering up their children unto idols like the Canaanites had done round about them. Boy, it's a terrible thing sometimes when we think about our old human nature. You know, sometimes we truly are like sheep. Sometimes we tend to want to follow the crowd, amen? And I've got some good news for you today. If you'll follow the good shepherd, you won't get in trouble. But God had to judge His covenant people, and He judged them harshly. As a matter of fact, the capital city of Samaria was being besieged in this particular passage. The Jews were shut up in the city gates, and they were being starved out by the enemy. And they had been there for a long period of time, and the enemy armies were encamped round about Israel or Samaria. And the people inside, God's people, were starving to death. The prophet Elisha had prophesied that these things would happen if the people didn't get right with God. And yet we see that it's going on. Famine and starvation had set in within the city walls. And folks, let me tell you, it was a horrible scene. And I'm thankful that the Bible makes it plain the end results of sin. The Bible says the end result of sin is death, folks. And I'm telling you, we can try to clean up sin all we want to, but I'm telling you, sin is abominable. And the end result of all sin is death. Back up to the previous chapter and read something. I'll show you how bad it was. Find 2 Kings chapter 6 and find, if you will, verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. This is going to place us in the setting of just how bad things were. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head, that's a donkey's head, was sold. Now, it was sold for food, by the way. Sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, I hope you didn't gloss over that. Though these people were so hungry inside the gates of Samaria that a donkey's head was sold for an enormous price of money so that somebody could eat and not starve. Folks, they were so hungry, they were eating dove's dung. And it gets worse. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" He's saying, hey, they're all empty. And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him." And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, "God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day." Now you've got the scene, haven't you? The king of Samaria is blaming it on God's prophet. Folks, it's not God's fault. Hey, I found a lot of times when I want to blame other people, the best place to look is in the mirror, amen. Because I'm telling you, the Bible says none of us are without sin, and this is a holy God judging his own people for their sins. It got so bad. Think about this. I mean, it's almost a scene of macabre, horror within the walls of Samaria. These two women want the king to judge between them because they cooked, one of them cooked, they made a pact, they made a deal, they were starving, and one of them boiled her little baby and they ate that baby. They committed cannibalism, and the other one was mad because the other one didn't carry through the next day. Boy, this is horrible, isn't it? And I'm telling you, why are you preaching on something like that, Brother Tim? Because I'm telling you, the end result of sin is death. But I've got some good news for you. God must judge sin, but I've got some good news for you. God is also a God of grace and a God of mercy. Did you know this very night, the message that is preached from that book, this gospel message that we're preaching tonight, did you know it could wind up being one of two things on the heart of any listener out here? Listen to me carefully. If this message is received tonight, especially if the gospel is preached, if it is received and if it is heeded, then the very message itself, the word of God, will become grace unto the hearer and amen, rejoicing because of the forgiveness of God. But on the other hand, if somebody leaves out of here and rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ and dies lost and busts hell wide open, then that very same message that was grace to the hearer that received it will in turn become judgment unto the unbeliever. And that's what we're seeing here in the life of Israel. Now, all I did then was give you a bird's eye view of what's going on. Now we're going to read a little bit more. And if you'll pray for me, we're going to preach tonight. The title of the message is Four Noble Lepers. One more time. Four Noble Lepers. Let's read about those lepers now. You ready? Say amen. I like to get people to say amen, you know, ever so often. That way I know you're awake. Amen. Now go with me if you would. And I want you to find 2 Kings chapter 7, and I want you to look here at verse 3, 2 Kings 7, 3. "And there went four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we shall die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. I tell you what, we just give ourselves up to the Syrians, the enemy army. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. What do you got to lose, man? Amen. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Now, I know you've read the story before. Let's read on. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence, or carried out of there, silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one another, now get a hold of this, church. Listen, verse 9 is the key verse. Boy, I hope every born-again Christians listen to this. Then they said one to another, these are four noble lepers, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry, if we wait till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell. Let me say it again. That we may go and tell the king's household. And that's exactly what they did. Four noble lepers. Did you know what leprosy is a picture of in the Word of God? I'm sure you know. You students of the Bible remember this. For study's sake, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. When you read about leprosy, it's tied in, teaching-wise, with sin. I know you know about the dreaded disease of leprosy. Leprosy was contagious. If you remember, they had special instructions that the priest would take a person who was suspicious of being a leper, and the priest had to declare whether or not the individual was clean or unclean. Leprosy was a devastating disease. Leprosy is a disease that affected the skin. It affected the extremities, the digits. People who had leprosy, by the way, it was a death warrant. Eventually, you would just decay away and die. Their fingers would fall off. Their extremities would fall off. Their ears would just rot away. Their noses would fall off. But here's one of the most, hey, that's bad enough, isn't it? Boy, the effects of sin. I tell you, it's a teaching type for sin. But listen to this. Did you know there's a part of leprosy and its consequences that's just as bad as that? The leper was isolated. Under Jewish custom and the Levitical law, if you had the disease of leprosy, you had to stay away in a leper colony. And when someone would come near you because you were contagious, you would have to cry, unclean, unclean, I am unclean. So nobody would come near you and catch the dreaded disease. Now, leprosy being a type of sin, let me share something with you today. You know, there's all kind of strange doctrines going around today. But I want to set the record straight. I hear people up around Brantley County, they preach stuff like this. I don't know where they're getting it. They say, we know Jesus just died for a certain few. Or Jesus just died for a chosen few. You know what your Bible says? Your Bible says that he died for the sins of the world. But you know what? I've been thinking about that. I always like to have an answer when people say strange things to me like that. I like to have an answer. I've got it, Brother IB. You know he did die for just a chosen few? He only died for one group. Are y'all ready? Have I got your ears on? He only died for one specific group of people, and I'll tell you who they are. The sinner. He died for the sinner. Praise God, he died for the sinner. Amen. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. Wonder what that means. It's deeper than that. Hell is found in the middle of John 3:16. When you read the word perish in John 3:16, it's the same perish that Peter said in his epistle when he said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, did you hear me? All, that includes this old sinner saved by grace, Tim King, and that includes you, and it doesn't matter what you've done, amen, the blood of Jesus can cleanse from all sin. And I'll tell you what, if he died on the cross for the sins of the world, that means we needed dying for. And I'm telling you, if he died to save us, that means we needed saving. Somebody give me an amen. I got news for you, folks. I still believe in preaching on the blood. I still believe in the power of the gospel. Amen. You know, we're in the last days. You preach the gospel now in the South. Let me tell you what you get a lot of time, Brother Ibe, I'll tell you. No reflection on you if you're saved now. But what's happened in our country, especially in the South, you don't see the movement that you used to see toward the altar. You don't see the movement that you used to see people getting saved. I'm going to tell you why that is. The South in America has become gospel hardened. You know what happens when we hear the gospel and we reject it? Listen carefully. There could be somebody here doing that right now. You've put off Jesus for whatever reason. You're not saved, or maybe you're trying to do things your way, or maybe you think you're going to be good enough to make it into heaven. And by the way, listen to this carefully. No way under the shining sun will you be good enough to make it into heaven by your works. The Bible says in Galatians, listen carefully, if righteousness came by the workings of the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you can just pull your bootstraps up and be nice and quit cussing and quit drinking beer and whatever it may be, if you could just get nice all of a sudden and quit being ornery and mean, maybe build a couple of children's hospitals, I don't know. And if you think you can get into heaven by doing those things, you've got a sad reckoning day coming. Because if you can get in there doing that, if you could just be a good old boy and make it in, if God will let you in under the rope, I'm telling you, then his son died in vain. Amen. Brother Tim, are you always this loud? Only when I preach and at buffet restaurants. Amen. Chicken, boy, I tell you what, any buffet. I'm going to let you on a secret. A lot of preachers won't tell you this. Preachers got their pride too, you know. Amen. Preachers love fried chicken, and I know that's out. Isn't it? It's out. But every preacher that goes there, that's the first thing he looks for. If I see fried chicken on the buffet, then I know I'm okay. Amen? And I could settle for a fried pork chop, you know, if it's deep fried. You know how I knew I was called to preach? Got to hankering for chicken, won't take up a collection. Yo, I'm joking. You know I'm kidding. Let me tell you something about that. If you can get in there any other way, please hear me. If you can get to heaven any other way. And by the way, let me tell you one of the biggest things that's damning souls to hell today. One of the biggest. Don't misquote me now. Don't get out of here kicking and screaming. But I'm going to tell you one of the biggest killers of the soul today. It's not what you think. A lot of people think, well, you know, probably the biggest thing, I used to think things like this, well, it's got to be drinking, you know, and alcoholism and drugging and prostitution, you know, and this, that, and the other, man. I could just list that. That's got to be the biggest problem today in America. No, sir. Let me tell you, the damning agent of the soul. I'll tell you what Satan is using more than any other device to damn people to hell, to trick them. Religion. 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 What do you mean, Brother Tim? Religion's good, only if it's the right kind. Amen. Only if it, there's only one. My Bible says there's one faith, there's one Lord, and there's one baptism. Somebody give me an amen. Now, I didn't say it, so if your lips are pushed out, please, you know, you take it up with the Lord. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Amen. But let me tell you something else about that. Listen carefully. This is very important. We were born in sin. Folks, you ain't got to wonder about that. The Bible says, in fact, Paul said it this way. He said, if one died for all, did you hear that? If one died for all, that's Jesus dying for every human being. If one died for all, then we're all dead. You know what you're looking at right now? You're looking at a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Now, I don't call myself a sinner anymore. You may disagree. But I don't. You know what? I'm not. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. I'm a brand new creation, and so are you, Christian. The Bible says, hey, he didn't just clean us up. Listen, to be saved means you're a brand new creature in Christ. And I tell you what these lepers did is a perfect picture of this. How God delivered these lepers in their darkest hour is a perfect teaching type for salvation. Where were they? Where were the lepers? Well, they wasn't in the city because their kinsmen, these lepers were Jews. Their kinsmen had done kicked them out. You know what? They had leprosy. Get out of here, man. Hey, pushed them out. So they're on the outside of the gate. You're talking about between a rock and a hard place? They can't go back in because they're unclean. And why go back in anyway? They're starving to death in there. Well, these lepers are on the outside and they're starving to death. But then they've got another thing to face. They're kind of in that buffer zone between home over there and the gates. And then over here is thousands upon thousands of Syrian soldiers, the enemy. You remember the enemy is encamped all around about Samaria. The Syrians are out there, and they're just waiting on the Jews to give up so they can come in and conquer. And these lepers are just walking around out there, and these lepers are starving to death. And Brother Tim, is it really that funny? Well, when I think about the grace of God, it just brings me joy, amen. And these lepers start talking amongst themselves. Man, if you can get some Christians to do that. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them. In his presence, it says, for them. You know what that means? Have you ever thought about that? When Christians get together like we're doing tonight, brother, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit right now. I'm about to get Pentecostal. I promise you'll be able to understand what I'm saying, though. Don't panic. Man, I sometimes I'll jump and shout, but always you can understand what I'm saying. That is a picture of the chronicle book of a king. Let me say it one more time. And they that feared the Lord, that's you, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written in his presence for them. That's in your Bible. You know what that is? That's the chronicles of a king. The king's name's Jesus. Y'all remember in the days of Esther? You remember how Mordecai saved the king in the days of Esther? The king got insomnia one night. And you know what he was flipping through? It wasn't a TV guide. It was the chronicles of the king. And he found where Mordecai had saved his life. Did you know every time you come together as the children of God, the Bible says God takes notice of it, and the Bible says he hasn't forgotten it? There's people getting together for all kinds of reasons tonight. There's people getting together to go get drunk tonight. There's people getting together to go stand around a fire and just smell smoky. There's people getting together tonight to smoke dope. There's people getting together tonight to do just nothing. I mean, you catch me tomorrow night, and I'll be doing nothing. Well, other than eating ice cream. But every time we come together, he takes note of it. And you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to come together more and more in these last days. Amen? Amen. Hey, man, let me tell you something. I told you already, and I mean it. Hey, that Bible teaches that we are God's instrument on this earth. Hey, I'm not some beaten down, whipped little old puny. Let me tell you something. I'm a child of the king. Amen. Don't tell me that I'm old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy, son. I am a nut. I know that. But I'm screwed on the right boat, and I'm going forward with the Lord as long as he'll stand me. Amen? Amen. I don't like sissies. Now, girls, I'm not talking about y'all. But these boys, you men, let me tell you something. There ain't no place for no sissies in the service of King Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, I don't feel like going to church. Mama came in there one time, and son was in there, say, hey, son, it's time to get ready for church. He says something, mumbled. She walked off. She come out, son, get ready. It's almost time to go to church. He's just sitting there. She come in there a third time. Son, I done told you. Y'all done heard this, ain't you? It's time to get ready for church. You know what he said? He said, I don't want to go down there. Them people don't like me, and furthermore, I don't like them. She says, but you got to go. You're the pastor. Let me tell you something, folks. We need some men to stand on what's right. Amen. Now, look at these lepers. Where are they? They're in no man's land, you think. Right. But God works a great miracle, and it's the miracle of salvation. Salvation's a miracle. It's the best miracle. That's one of the ways you know you're saved or not. There could be somebody right here in this place tonight, and you're not sure whether you're saved or not. You're not sure. And let me tell you how you know that you know that you know. Watch this. Your salvation will be the most precious thing that you have in your life, and you will not have gotten over it, and you can't get over it, and it's still with you just as fresh as it was the day you gave your heart and life to Jesus. It's the most precious thing you have. Your testimony and your salvation, what the Lord's done in your heart, is the greatest thing you've ever gotten hold of, and if you don't have that, you can have it tonight.
Amen, brother.
On the authority of that book. So those lepers, God works a miracle. You know what God does? He runs the whole army of the Syrians off. God does it with a miracle. He causes them to hear a noise. You know what it is? It's the angelic host. And he hears, and they hear this noise, and it's so loud, and it's the thundering of horses' hooves and chariots. And they get so scared, man, they just up and run. They panic. They leave everything behind. All these verses are coming to my mind. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Can I get a... That's the word of God, folks. Anyway, the meek shall inherit the... I wonder what that means. It means the meek shall inherit the earth, son. When? When we come back with Jesus. You believe it? Whether you believe it or not, it's still a fact. You'll be there if you're saved. I don't understand all that. Don't worry, you'll be there if you're saved. Amen. That ought to do you some good. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit right now. Listen, these lepers, they look, and man, hey, they look back, and all the host of the enemy is gone. You know, we got three enemies today. Christian, you still got three enemies. Christian, listen to me. If you don't know who your enemies are, then you're not going to be able to be effective for the Lord. And you've got three. One of your enemies is the devil. He's not an imaginary thing. He's not an idea of evil. The devil is a real being. Now, God didn't create him. Boy, I got your attention then, didn't I? I see your wheels turning. Yeah, God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. But they're the same person, Brother Tim. You're right, but listen carefully. Don't miss what I'm saying. God never created the devil. God created Lucifer as the anointed cherub that covered. He was created and designed by God. By the way, my God is the creator. He created Lucifer to serve him, and Lucifer was supposed to be a servant of God. But when Lucifer sinned, and when Lucifer wanted Christ's kingdom, when he said, I will ascend above the stars, and he said, I'll set my throne above the stars of God. Hey, I'll be like the Most High. When Satan sinned in his heart, when Lucifer sinned in his heart, rather, Lucifer became the devil. I tell you something else God didn't create. And God created everything, but he didn't create this. God didn't create a sinner. God never created a sinner. Not one. You know, he created Adam and Eve in his own image. Are y'all with me? Say amen. He put Adam and Eve in that garden. And he told them, you can eat of all these trees in this garden. You want to, just have at it. But he said, there's one tree you better not eat of. And that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He says, from the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. God never created a sinner. God created a man and a woman in his own image. When he created Adam, the Bible says he created Adam in his own image. You know when Adam became a sinner? When he disobeyed God. You know when you and I became a sinner? The moment you hit air. The moment we were born from the womb. We were born in sin. Brother Tim, I've never murdered anybody. That don't make no difference. I'll tell you what, you won't get into heaven on your own righteousness. I hope you're depending on the shed blood of Jesus. I'm all over the Bible now, Anna. I got to hurry, man. This is the last night. I got to preach. I got to put 4 hours in about 20 more minutes. You talking about a bind. I'm in a bind. Do you remember the Passover? The original Passover, back when Moses and the children of Israel was getting ready to leave it. Boy, they was getting ready to head out. I'm getting ready to head out too. Amen. Are you? You know what? This old world's looking shabbier and shabbier, isn't it, Christian? You know what? Don't be trying to paint a sinking ship. Can you imagine being on that Titanic and that thing going down? Can you imagine that? People's boarding the lifeboats on the Titanic, and then some redneck goes over there and grabs a paint can and starts painting the decks. That's what a lot of Christians do. You see, a lot of times we got our claws dug into this world. We're painting a sinking ship. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm so happy tonight. God told Moses, every household will take a lamb. Exodus chapter 12. A lamb for each household. That's pointing to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He said each household will take and flay that little lamb. That was the Passover. They said they'll take the blood of that lamb and put it in a basin. That's a bowl. They said they'll take some hyssop in their hand. That's a paintbrush. And they'll take, dip that hyssop in the blood of that lamb. And he told them, take and strike that hyssop with the blood over the lintel and the doorpost of your dwelling place. He says, and when I come through to smite the firstborn of Egypt, and when I put judgment on Egypt, he says, you'll find grace. And he says, I will pass over thee. And he says it this way, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. What's he looking for in your heart? One thing. He's not looking for my good works. You know why? My good works are as filthy rags. You could ask my wife, man, but I'm telling you right now, if you could ask my wife all of my faults and shortcomings, oh man, I wouldn't even want to hear it. But I'm not dependent on any good thing I've ever done. When I die, brother, let me tell you something. I'm dependent on the blood of the Lamb. His blood is on my soul, don't you understand? God's looking at me through the blood of his Son, don't you understand? He's not looking at me. Man, look how ugly I am. Hey, God's not looking at me. God's looking at his Son through me. God loves me as much as he loves his only begotten Son. Don't you understand that, Christian? He loves you, Christian. As much as he could love you no less. You know what? When he sees us, he sees his children. You know, he's looking through the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over thee. Satan can't do nothing with that. You know what Satan accuses on? You know what his basis for accusement is? The Bible says Satan is the accuser. I'm going to get back to the four noble lepers in a minute. The Bible says Satan's the accuser of the brethren. And you know what we can find in the Bible where he does that? He accused Job. He accused the high priest Joshua, he accuses us. You know what the basis for his accusing is? Satan. He knows the Bible. Satan accuses us based on the Levitical law. You break one of God's commands, and we can prove it in Scripture, he has gone before God and said, he done that. Now, I've got news for you. I'm ashamed to tell you, but I've broken God's commands, especially when I was a lost man. I tell you, when you get saved, you ought to be sinning less. Boy, that'll preach. When you get saved, you ought to be sinning less. When you get saved, you ought to be sinning less. Somebody, let's write a song. When you get saved, you ought to be sinning less. But you know what? He can accuse according to the Levitical law. Hey, Tim King over, he lied. You know what the Bible says? Don't bear no false witness. You know, Tim King got mad at his wife for no reason. She was cooking breakfast and busted the yeller in the eggs. He likes them sunny side up. He got mad. Mad without a cause. He can accuse me. But I tell you something he can't do nothing with. He can't do nothing with the blood of Jesus. You know why? It's sinless. And it's on every Christian. Isn't that good? I'm going to sleep better tonight knowing that. Aren't you? But when I was lost, I was 27 years old when I got saved. And when I was a lost man, I had a bunch of Christians praying for me, y'all. And the old timers, they called that fence on an old boy in. Christians, you ought to do that. Be like them four noble lepers. So anyway, they was praying for me to get saved. My wife was one of the main ones, praying for me to get saved, praying for me to get saved. Boy, I'd go to sleep at night, and my sins were ever before my face. I'd go to sleep at night, close my eyes, and it was really dark. I mean, when I say dark, there was just darkness in my soul. I was lost. And you know what? I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. And for due reason, if I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. Brother Tim, surely a loving God wouldn't have sent you to hell just as sure as I rejected his son. Well, it don't bother me anymore. I sleep like a baby. I don't worry about, I hadn't worried about dying and going to hell in 20, how many years, Becky? No, not that long. Since I was 27. Do the math, I'm 49. I don't know if that's, is that 17 years? 22 years? Is it 22 years? I'm a school teacher. But praise God, I don't teach math. I teach social studies, so okay. So anyway, I haven't, thank God, I haven't worried about dying and going to hell for 22 years. That's the mercy of God. Amen. So the lepers, they look, and all the Syrians, I mean, they're gone, but they left everything behind. They left thousands of tents. They were encamped out there. It would be like something like you see on TV, like the Nazis going in there. And man, they had food in those tents, and they had garments in those tents. Everything you could want was there. These lepers were starving. It's a picture of a person dying without Christ. And God made the provision. Here's what they did. They dashed into the first tent. You would too. People say, well, I don't eat this, I don't eat that, I don't eat the other. People are so finicky today, you know. That's because you ain't ever been hungry. I know I'd eat about anything. You let me go hungry. You let me go without eating one day, I'd probably eat a possum. If you fried him. You let me go without eating 2 days, maybe two and a half, I'd probably eat a dog if you fried him. You let me go without eating 3 days, I'd probably eat a frozen dog. Thanks for sharing that, Brother Tim. What I'm trying to tell you is hunger will make you do things that you never thought you'd do. You know we're one of the biggest prayer meetings ever? There's a big prayer meeting going on tonight. I don't know if I told you about it. It's the biggest prayer meeting on record. And it's going on right now. And thank God I ain't there. It's in a place called hell. They're crying for relief. They're crying out, God, have mercy on me. But the mercy is not going to come. You know why? It's too late. It's too late. They dashed in that first tent. Boy, they ate. They ate them a belly full. And you know what? They dashed in the second tent. Can you imagine that? They're starving to death. Kind of like going to a buffet. And they went to the second tent and they ate. And man, by the time they got to the second tent, they're full as a tick. And they come out of that second tent, and I can imagine, can't you? Well, let's go see what's in the third one. And then one of them spoke, I said, hold on a minute. Listen, Christian, please listen. Please listen. One of them says, hold on a minute. Thank God for this, but hold on just a minute. This isn't right. What do you mean? Man, hey, there's plenty. What do you mean? No, listen to me. I know there's plenty. I mean, there's thousands of tents, and they're all just like this. But what we're doing right now, hold on a minute, just time out. This isn't right. If we don't go back and tell our countrymen, if we don't go back and tell our family members inside the city walls, if we don't go and testify of what God has done for us, they're going to perish. They're going to die. We've got to tell them. It's called a testimony. Amen. Every Christian's got one. You know you got your own testimony? You got saved the same way I did. See, I've got my testimony. And I can tell it. I'm just waiting on somebody to ask me. But you've got your testimony, Christian. And nobody can tell it like you. And Christian, can I say something to you with the love of God? There's somebody needs to hear your testimony. There's somebody needs to hear it. We have the fear of rejection. Don't you fear that. If you're offering somebody the cure, don't you fear their response. Let me tell you something right now. You tell them about it. And all of that's up to them and God. But you tell them, I don't know how to do it, Brother Tim. I don't know how to share my faith. Yes, you do. You tell them about how when you got saved. Amen. And you tell them who saved you, and that's good enough. Brother Tim, I don't know all the scriptures. Let me tell you something. Aren't you thankful you didn't have to know that whole Bible to be saved? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know what he said? He said, go tell it. That's why he called it the Great Commission, because it's great. We ought to go tell people about Jesus. That's what the church is for. Can I say this? Don't misunderstand me, and don't get upset with me, but let me tell you something. That's about all we're good for. No, really, listen to me. Listen, that's what we're here for. I love you now. Let me tell you something. I love y'all, some of the nicest people I've ever met. I'd like to take y'all all back to folks, but Brother IB would kill me. And I don't blame him. But what I'm trying to say is, really, what good are we if we don't do the King's business? He's got us here for, if we're not going to, he just will take us home. Amen.
Amen.
You're the best thing God has to offer this world. You're the best thing God has to offer this world, Christian. The rapture's about to take place. I don't know the day nor the hour, but I know it's soon. You know what's going to happen when that takes place? Every one of you that's saved is going to be snatched off of this earth. You'll be gone. You know who's going with you? Who's inside of you? Who's in your heart? The Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. We can prove in the tribulation period that the Holy Spirit will be at work in the tribulation, but not like he is today. No, sir, not like he is today, because the Holy Spirit is in the heart and life of every believer. He says, I'll dwell in temples not made with hands. You are a vessel of clay that's carrying around the light of God. You remember when Jesus said to the disciples? Boy, this blows my mind, brother, every time I think about this. He told the disciples, he says, The works that you see me do, he says, ye shall do greater works than these.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
That's Jesus that said that.
Amen.
Now, that's hard to swallow, but I think I know what he was talking about, don't you? All right, listen, he said this about John the Baptist. You remember what he said about John the Baptist? He says, of all the preachers, he says, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. Born of women, there's not a greater preacher than John the Baptist. And then he said this, Jesus said this, but he that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What in the world does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus died on the cross and rose again, you now have the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit will never leave you. That's how you know that you know that you know. Man, there's somebody in me. Amen. He talks with me and walks with me along life's narrow way. Amen. He's put a song in my heart. Amen. I used to sing Hank Jr. and Merle Haggard and Buck Owens. And you get a line, I get a pull, honey. Hey, that might not be too bad. But you know what? God's put a new song in my heart.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? I didn't even realize it. See, when you're lost, you don't realize some of that stuff's killing you. Until you get saved. I didn't see anything wrong with Hank Williams Jr. until I got saved. I'm not being a legalist. It was like the Lord hit a switch. It's the Holy Spirit in me. And then you go back and listen to some of the lyrics that I thought were great. Heaven ain't a lot like Dixie. I don't want to go. What? What? Hold on a minute. That was pretty good. Yesterday, but the Holy Spirit says, hold on a minute. What's going on? What's happened? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see Hank Jr. get saved because I think he's a great singer. I'd just like to hear him singing something good. Wouldn't you? I'd like to hear old Hank Jr. sing something like this. Let's see, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, boy, old Hank could do that, couldn't he, if he just get, you with me? I'd like to see the old boy saved. He wouldn't be singing about whiskey bent and hell bound anymore. He'd be singing about heaven bound. And I'm telling you, folks, those lepers couldn't keep quiet. Hey, you know what it was? It was duty. They were men of integrity. But wait a minute, they were old lepers. they did something for their countrymen that their countrymen wouldn't do for them. Their countrymen had written them off as dead, but I'm telling you, God gave them new life, and they took that new life and they carried it back to their countrymen, and it's a picture of you and I sharing the gospel of grace with the lost and the dying. Don't give up. Don't back down. Don't back up. Amen. You need to get some bulldog tenacity. Kind of like old Winston Churchill. Y'all remember Winston Churchill? If you say, yeah, you just dated yourself. And if you don't, we don't care. Old Winston Churchill. This is not the beginning of the end. I don't remember the rest of it. Nor the end of the beginning. But perhaps it is the, what was it? End of the end or beginning of the end or something like that. Amen. Winston Churchill. I just quoted him verbatim. Did you know the gospel of grace is the only hope that the United States has? Can I share something with you? You better listen to me. There could be somebody today you're using this as a crutch. Brother Tim, listen. You Baptists ain't the only people right in the world. It ain't got nothing to do with Baptists, folks. Let me tell you something right now. Baptists don't mean nothing to me. Now, don't get mad, brother. I love Baptists. I am a Baptist. I'm a Baptist through and through, but I'm a Christian first. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to know where my loyalties are. It don't matter what's on the sign, son. You just count me in with the redeemed and that blessed old book of the gospel of grace right there. I'm trying to tell you something here today. Don't fall on the crutches and don't go back and use the arguments of those that are scoffers and unbelievers. I know how it works because I've used them. Surely a loving God wouldn't send all those people to hell. You say that if anybody calls on the name of Jesus, they'll be saved. But what about all those Hindus? What about all those Buddhists? What about all those Chinese? Let me ask you a question. What about all these Americans? You know what we used to call the nations of China? You know what we called the Buddhist nations years ago? You older people remember this. We called the Hindu nations and the Buddhist nations, and we called the Mohammedites, we called them heathen nations. I'm not being ugly. That's just the way we used to talk. That's the way. That was just the lingo. It came out of the Word of God. They were unbelievers. We called them heathen nations. But God died for those people. And God says, go tell them amen. He says, preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But do you know why they're heathen? Have you ever thought about why they are? The same way America's turning heathen. Don't you think for a moment that America can't turn heathen. America's turning heathen, I'm telling you. You know how that thing happens? You know what the Bible says about that thing? The Bible says that every nation is without excuse. Paul said on Mars Hill, he says, listen, he says, but God hath called on every man everywhere to repent. Let me repeat it. Every man, everywhere. God hath called on every man, everywhere to repent. We can't use that cop-out. We ought to be over there telling them. We ought to be sending missionaries, and thank God we ought to be sending more. Amen. Hey, man, bring them in. Bring them in, because I'm telling you, we are running short of time. Go tell them about the Savior. Amen. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They need to hear it. We've been sending missionaries for years, brother. Keep sending them, amen, until the Lord carries us home. You ever thought about why they're heathen? You ought to love the lost. You know, it's only by the grace of God you wasn't born in China. It's only by the grace of God we wasn't born there. I'm going to be quick, I promise. I know it's the last night of revival. Some of you's tired. I'm going to try to just preach this right on. I tell you what, y'all buckle your seatbelts. We're fixing to come in for a landing. It won't be long now. But listen to me. Do you know why China wound up being a heathen nation? Do you know why India is a heathen nation today? You could pick anyone you want. Because somewhere down the line, they turned their back on the true and the living God. Can you prove that, Brother Tim? You can prove it. Noah had three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Them three adult boys and their wives walked off of that ark. And God repopulated the earth through their posterity. And somewhere down the line, the offspring of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, turned their back on God, and they became heathen nations. And guess what? All they got to do is turn to Jesus, and they can be saved. Aren't you thankful today? Aren't you thankful you don't have to do anything? I mean, the work was done on Calvary, man. Listen, hey, the work was done there. Don't tell me we got to do it. All you got to do is trust Jesus. Amen. All you've got to do is admit what he already knows. Let me ask you this question. Is there someone within the sound of my voice tonight? You're lost. Now, here's what I mean. There's never been a change in your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You may not get another opportunity like you're getting tonight. You see, the Holy Spirit may be drawing you tonight. You need to get saved before it's too late. You need to get saved tonight. Brother Tim, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. God knows what you've done. All you need to do is repent. By the way, you know what that means? Repent don't mean tell him every sin you've ever committed, because you can't remember all the sins you've committed. But he knows. Repenting is simply confessing what he already knows. In honesty, say, God, I'm a sinner. And mean it. Jesus, the best way I know how, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and save me. It's that simple. Have you ever cried out, Jesus, save me? No, Brother Tim, I haven't. Well, that's what it's going to take, friend. That's what it's going to take. Water baptism will never do it. Shaking a preacher's hand won't do a thing in the world but make the preacher happy. Coming to this church day in and day out, it won't save anybody, but praise God, if you'll accept Jesus, you'll be saved. Amen. He'll save you tonight. As our musicians are making their way forward, I want to ask you, if you would, to stand with me. Maybe there's some Christians tonight that would come to an old-fashioned altar and pray. Even now, you don't have to wait. Maybe there's some Christians that would come to an old-fashioned altar tonight and pray and ask God to draw lost sinners one more time. Pray that God would convict the heart that's lost. There could be someone tonight that needs to come and give your heart and life to Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a moment, they're going to begin to sing. Nobody's looking around. Folks, Jesus gave his son so that you could have eternal life. To reject his son will bring the wrath of God upon you through all eternity. But I've got wonderful news. You can accept his grace tonight. You can become his child tonight. Lord, I come. There's somebody tonight that needs to do that, I believe, with all my heart. Maybe tonight, listen, you've been dabbing around the world. Maybe God's beginning to show you that you're lost. Would you come? Father, now we turn the invitation over to you. Father, I pray if someone needs to be saved, they'll come tonight. Father, Lord, we'd be glad to show them in the Scripture the plan of salvation. Father, Lord, let them come in Jesus' name. And amen.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need
Would you come?
Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. For sin runs. Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are.
And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, now I need you. My one.